Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Randy Sweet, my colleague at MRM. Randy, how long have you been with MRM?
Since 1999.
And of course, you and Carol take care of all the mailings that go out, and plus the prayer ministry and things like that. A lot of things people don't even probably even know exist. And yet without you, this ministry would not function properly. And I certainly do thank you for your contribution to MRM. You came to me and you were talking about a sermon that you heard, a pastor friend of yours who is doing a church plant in South Jordan,
yes,
Utah?
South Jordan, Utah.
Okay. And just give our listeners a little recap on what you had explained to me.
Well, this past Sunday evening, my wife and I were attending the church there in South Jordan, pastor's house, and he was preaching and teaching on the book of Ephesians. And we went through Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. And after the teaching, he showed a video on his TV screen called "A Man Fell in a Hole."
A man who fell in a hole. A man fell in a hole. Now, of course, Ephesians 2, when we look at Ephesians 2, this is a famous passage that we probably always seem to quote whenever we're talking with Latter-day Saints. It's rare that we don't get to the point in our conversation where we have to rely on Ephesians 2 to make a very clear distinction on how we are actually saved by grace. But this video, it's put out by Bluefish TV. Bluefish TV puts out a lot of teaching videos on Christianity. It features a number of different ministries. I wanted to play the actual audio of this particular video, but the sound quality with the music in the background just didn't come out that well for radio. So I transcribed it. Took me a while because my typing is anything but good, okay? But if you want to watch the video, if you want to see it, just merely go to youtube.com and type in "A Man Fell in a Hole," and you're going to see that there are a number of sites that have this video linked. And we're going to go through it right now. And let me just read to you the transcript. It starts off, it's very basic. It says, "A man fell in a hole. He fell in a hole and he couldn't get out. A traveler passed by. He told the man to meditate, to purify his mind, and when he reached nirvana, all suffering would cease. The man did as he was told, but he remained in the hole." So what we see here is a pattern that's referring to a man's plight. And of course, this illustration of a man in the hole is certainly not all that original. I mean, I know that there's been a lot of sermons that kind of go around this kind of a concept. And why is that so important? A man who is at the bottom of a hole is probably in one of the most desperate situations that you could ever imagine. If he has no assistance from the outside, there's no way that he's going to get out of his predicament. If left in his predicament, he is going to die. There's no question about that. And that's the scenario. That's the illustration that's given here. Now, when he talks to Randy about this man who comes and tells him to meditate, to purify his mind and reach nirvana, what is that an obvious reference to? I mean, it's trying to bring out different religious ideas in order to bring a point home at the very end of the video.
That would be referring to Buddhism, Bill.
Okay.
One of the major world religions.
All right. And now it goes on to say that the man did as he was told, but he remained in the hole. In other words, we're told that even though he was applying this tenet, his situation didn't change. He remained in the hole. The narration goes on to say another man appeared. He explained that the hole didn't exist. and neither, in fact, did the man. It was all an illusion. The man who did not exist was still stuck in the hole that was not there. Now, I'm not really sure who this is referring to. It could be, I think, another illustration of perhaps Buddhism, but I think to say that Gautama Buddha actually taught that life was an illusion, I understand is not actually true, that's a rumor that has been attributed to him, mainly because he uses that kind of phraseology to discuss some other things. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. But if you do think, in fact, that life is an illusion, that's not going to help your situation, because why? The situation is very real. This man is in a hole. And just thinking it's not a hole is not going to change the situation. So it goes on and says, another visitor arrived. He instructed the man to perform good deeds to improve his karma, and though he would still die in the hole, he might be reincarnated as something magnificent. Now, of course, what are we talking about there?
Hinduism.
Oh, absolutely. Hinduism. Of course, you have people who really believe that they're going to go through these multiple lives and such and hopefully improve themselves if they live a good life previous to the one that they hope to gain. Of course, that doesn't change his situation. Then it says, another man looked down from above. He taught the man to pray 5 times a day facing the east and to follow 5 important tenets. That's an obvious reference to what?
Islam.
Yes. Islam. Exactly. The 5 pillars of Islam. He was told if he was faithful, one day perhaps a divine would set him free. The man prayed as best he could, but he was losing strength, and in the hole he remained. Another man appeared. There was something different about him. He called down to the man in the hole and asked him if he wanted to be free. This man lowered himself into the pit and took hold of the man and dragged him into the light. And the man in the hole, who could not get himself out, was saved. Now, what's the obvious reference there?
Obviously, that's Jesus. And when our viewers go to the internet and get on YouTube and actually watch the video for themselves, they'll see that the rope that had to be tied to something for Jesus to come down into the hole, and he literally carries the man out. The man cannot do anything for himself. He's totally, basically, he's almost dead. There's a great visual picture for our listening audience when they see the video at the end. The rope is tied to the cross, Bill.
The rope is tied to the cross. One of the ways I've heard this type of an illustration is, yes, mankind in his sin is down in the bottom of this hole. He's desperate. He's helpless. And to make matters worse, he has 2 broken legs. So even if this other man at the very end was to merely lower the rope, the man does not have the strength or the ability to climb out. Whether it's a rope or a ladder, it doesn't matter. Now, this illustration, I think, tells perfectly about man's hopeless situation as far as his sin is concerned.
Yeah, exactly, Bill. In our lesson out of Ephesians chapter 2 on Sunday evening, verse 1 for our listening audience says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you were once walked following the course of this world." So if we're dead, Bill, we are incapable of doing anything.
And that's the point. Dead men don't do anything. You're right. And the Bible tells us that we are either dead in our sins or we are dead to our sins. I did a sermon one time several years ago called Dead Man Walking, and it was taken after the phrase that was used in The Green Mile with Tom Hanks when the condemned prisoner was to come into the jailhouse there. Percy, the guy that nobody liked in that movie, was yelling out, "Dead man walking here." And we're all dead men walking one way or the other. We're either dead to our sins or we're dead in our sins. Now, why do we bring this out? It's because this illustration of the hole, this illustration of the pit, is certainly not something that's been lost on Mormon leaders. In fact, we want to look at some of the statements that Mormon leaders have said about this kind of an illustration. So which one are we going to go to first by Orson Whitney? Orson Whitney, I might mention, was the son of Horace Whitney and Helen Mar Kimball Whitney. Helen Mar Kimball was the 15-year-old widow of Joseph Smith. She married her childhood sweetheart, Horace, after Smith died. They gave birth to Orson Whitney, who later became an apostle in the church, but this is what he said. He said, "It is one of the grandest attributes of deity that he saves and exalts the human family upon just and eternal principles, that he gives to no man or no woman that which they have not been willing to work for, which they have not deserved, which they have not expanded themselves to receive. By putting in practice the principles he reveals against all opposition, facing the wrath and scorn of the world which cannot give a just cause, a reasonable pretext for the opposition it has ever manifested to the truths of heaven, it is the characteristic of our Father, a principle of his divine economy, to exact from every soul a fitting proof of its worthiness to attain the exaltation to which it aspires. There are no heights that may not be surmounted, but they must be reached by the way that God has ordained. Man may think to accomplish his salvation by carrying out the selfish desires of his own heart, but when he fails to take God into consideration, his Creator and the Framer of the laws whereby we mount unto exaltation and eternal life, he knocks the ladder from under him whereby he might climb to that glorious state." So what's the difference there between what you were reading out of Ephesians 2 and what we see Orson Whitney telling us here?
Yeah, basically, man has to do it. Man has to climb. He has to be obedient. He has to do everything in his own power to gain that exaltation, to get back to the presence of Heavenly Father.
Now, it might seem a little bit confusing because Orson Whitney does seem to give some credit to God for at least putting the mechanics in place that allows man to take advantage of those principles that God has given him. But you're right. Ultimately, it all boils down to what is the individual going to do in order to really merit that salvation, even though we hear many times Mormons will tell us, well, we don't believe that we're saved by works, but yet when you have them explain what is necessary, it most certainly is a doctrine of works. So I think our job as Christians is to try and explain as clearly as we can why we cannot accept their definition of this so-called salvation they're talking about, when in fact it seems to be very clearly be describing a doctrine of works.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When trying to understand the doctrines of our Latter-day Saint friends, family members, and co-workers, it can be very difficult to know what to believe. In his resource titled, In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever compiles some of the very best Mormon quotations that will help you better understand what LDS leaders and scholars have said on such issues as atonement, exaltation, and pre-existence. Written in an encyclopedic format, In Their Own Words provides quotes on literally dozens of issues, alphabetically listed for quick reference that can be found in a matter of seconds. No more wondering what Mormonism's leaders have said on any topic, and this resource is available in both book format as well as on CD disc. Just load the PDF file onto your computer and you're ready to do valuable research. These are the very best quotes that Mormonism Research Ministry uses on a regular basis. In Their Own Words is available now at mrm.org. Again, mrm.org. Get it today.